Joining us now, Sandy Sioffi. She's director of the new documentary, Sweet Crude. Sandy Sioffi will introduce and discuss her documentary, Sweet Crude, tonight at 7:30 as part of the 18th annual Cascade Festival of African Film, showing at the Moriarty Building on Portland Community College's campus, the Cascade campus. The website for the festival is AfricanFilmFestival.org. That's AfricanFilmFestival.org. The website for the movie is SweetCrudeMovie.com. We'll have a link from both to AM 620 KPOJ. And we just kind of lost Sandy on the line. We'll try to get her right back. But she will introduce and discuss Sweet Crude tonight at 7:30 as part of the Festival of Films. You know, we have, and Sandy, we hope will get back with us shortly. We had discussed, here she comes on the line, we had discussed this in the context of another book about the Niger River Delta. What's happening there is in Nigeria's Niger River Delta, 20% of all U.S. oil comes from there. It's produced right there. And for 50 years, foreign companies have been extracting oil from the region. And they're destroying the environment, they're harming the health of the citizens there, impoverishing the indigenous population. And Sandy Sioffi is with us now. Sandy, clicking you on there. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was hoping to lose George Bush's press conference, not you. So we're glad.
I appreciate that.
Yes, we have our priorities here at AM 620 KPOJ. As I mentioned, tonight at 7:30, your movie, Great Documentary, is going to screen as part of the annual Cascade Festival of African Films at PCC. And I was just mentioning tell us about the Niger River Delta. 20% of the oil, U.S. oil, is produced there. Is that right?
Certainly. Well, at any given moment in the U.S., we get more of our oil from Nigeria than we do from Saudi Arabia. And most people don't know that. Or, for example, more of our oil from Nigeria than Iraq and Kuwait combined. And, you know, I heard your intro, and this is particularly pertinent as we have the environment you're talking about here in the U.S. Part of the price of oil being over $100 a barrel now is a direct consequence of a lack of preventive diplomacy in that region. It's not really very well known, but for 50 years, the way that oil has been extracted there has been so abusive that the people there have begun to really take up arms in a much more organized way.
And there were activists back in 1995 that were hanged in Nigeria. Is that right?
That's correct. Probably the most well-known Nigerian activist was a man named Ken Sarawiwa. And he was a nonviolent protest leader who had managed to really organize a great majority of the Delta. And a lot of people had hoped that that would be Nigeria's moment to really become much more like South Africa. It was right after Mandela became president, Clinton was in the White House, and the illegal dictator of Nigeria arrested Ken Sarawiwa on trumped-up murder charges. And actually, the State Department of the U.S. at the time pled for his life, as did many European nations. We weren't, however, successful. And part of it, from the perspective of people in Nigeria in terms of the U.S. involvement, was that Clinton had been made really powerless after Black Hawk Down.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ken Sarawiwa was hanged, a lot of people believed that the hope for a nonviolent outcome in Nigeria died with him.
And Black Hawk Down, of course, the incursion into Somalia. I believe troops were actually sent into Somalia by George Herbert Walker Bush. And when the unfortunate incident happened in Black Hawk Down, of course, the right-wing hosts were all over Bill Clinton for no exit strategy.
Exactly.
As I recall. Who are the players now in Nigeria, the activists now, Sandy?
They're most commonly known by the acronym MEND, which is the Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta. And, you know, just like in many places that are in between war and peace, it's very confusing who exactly are the factions of MEND. I would say it's maybe akin to the 1997 IRA. As the IRA had members who were pushing toward a political solution, those young men who were called Sinn Féin began to come to the table as a part of a legitimate peace talk. With MEND, you have factions that are really thuggery, and you have some very powerful factions that are politically trying to organize the Delta really for very reasonable demands.
Sandy, I remember when gambling became legal in Atlantic City, New Jersey. It was supposed to be the boon for the local economy, and the big hotels went up along the boardwalk. And to this day, and it's been many decades later, you walk three blocks from the boardwalk, and people in Atlantic City are poorer than ever. Who are the oil companies that have gone in here to the Niger Delta, and why haven't the people of the region shared in the wealth? That's the $64,000 question.
It is, and in this case, of course, $64 billion. And your analogy is fantastic. It's a very similar situation. 50 years ago, the British were leaving. It was a British colony. Almost simultaneous to the moment that the British left, the oil companies came in, and they became the new infrastructure of the country. There was no real time for the people in Nigeria to develop legitimate infrastructure in a duly elected government. So you had really a corporate overlay over what was a colonial overlay. And from there, essentially, all the oil that comes out of the ground, supposedly, there is a large percentage of that money that goes back to the people. But for a series of reasons, some of which are classic corruption, some of which are classic oligarchy, kleptocracy. I mean, we could go on and on.
Kleptocracy, I love it.
But that said, really, a good deal of the reason is that there's been a collusion between the oil companies and the Nigerian government. And so the Nigerian government looks the other way when the oil companies break every international charter in terms of the environmental damage. And the oil companies look the other way when the Nigerian government steals the money that they're paying as part of the revenue that's supposed to have gotten to the people. So they've had this collusion, but I will say that oddly, part of a hopeful moment right now is that things have gotten so bad that even the oil companies want things to get better for the people because they recognize that if they don't, they won't continue to be able to bring oil out of the ground in Nigeria.
Yeah, it's like big business now, knowing that health care costs are spiraling. It's hitting their bottom line, and suddenly they want health care reform in this country. We're speaking with Sandy Seoffi. He's director of the new documentary Sweet Crude. Sweet Crude will screen tonight at 7:30 as part of the 18th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, showing at the Moriarty Building on PCC's Cascade Campus. AfricanFilmFestival.org is the website. SweetCrudeMovie.com is the website for Sandy's movie. 620kpoj.com will have links. Now, Sandy, you were there in 2005 in Nigeria on another project, and you saw the effect of this extraction of oil and went back. I'm interested, when you filmed there, how safe were you? Was there opposition from the government, oil companies? Who did you talk to? Get us into the filming of this over there.
Sure. And I'd also like to say that technically what we're screening is a work in progress because I'm still involved and I'm going back in about 5 weeks. This story is very current. Yes, I was there in 2005 to document the building of a library in a village, and I was really just there as a job. But while I was there, what I saw immediately was a place very much like you described where there's absolutely no infrastructure, where the consequences of acid rain mean that there's really no fish left for the people who for thousands of years have lived off of very plentiful fish in the river Delta region, and you have, absolutely no modern amenities, no running water, no electricity, no health care. And not only did I see that, but what I saw was an extremely well-organized, well-educated opposition developing, and I recognized that these folks were looking for any international attention because one of the things that died along with Ken Saro-Wiwa in 1995 was virtually any Western attention or any camera witnessing what was happening there. It's really quite staggering. I mean, you have a place that, even if you're not a humanitarian, you would say the U.S. would be deeply engaged in worrying from a State Department perspective about where this place is going to go. And there's been almost no preventive diplomacy in this place or any journalism to speak of.
Yeah, and so common areas of the world such as Africa and South America, Russia, that are certainly overlooked by this administration as they put all their foreign policy eggs, as it were, in the Iraq basket. Sandy, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much. Director of Sweet Crude, portion will be screening tonight at 7:30, part of the 18th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films at PCC, AfricanFilmFestival.org. Sandy, I would love to have you come back. I know you're Seattle-based. I'd love to have you come back on the show from time to time because this is a story that's so often out of sight, out of mind, and we need to keep it on the radar.
I would really appreciate that, and you're exactly right. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Sandy Seoffi, director of Sweet Crude.
You're listening to the KPOJ Morning Podcast with Tom Hartman and Heidi Tauber. Heard weekday morning 6 to 9 on AM 620 KPOJ.